Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We are accustomed to hearing about violence and instability in Pakistan, yet it remains a faraway place to most Americans, despite its central role in U.S. foreign policy in South Asia or the war in Afghanistan. Yet, what if Pakistan was home and its violence and uncertainty were part of the fabric of your life? And what if that violence one day claimed someone close to you? As a writer and as a Pakistani, Atish Tasir has struggled all his life to understand his relationship with his country, with his ethnic homeland, the Punjab, and with his politically prominent father, Salman Tasir, the governor of Pakistan's Punjab province. A year ago this week, his father was assassinated just as Atish was finishing his first novel, Noon. It was as though reality scripted a horrific sequel to the story he was trying to tell. And from the BBC studios in Delhi, Atish Tasir sat down with us yesterday to speak about his perspective a year after the loss of his father. Atish Tasir, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You know, you write in a piece in the Financial Times that really struck me that fiction is difficult in Pakistan because reality and unreality are so bound up together. What does that mean?
I think that what I had in mind was that for a fiction writer, for the imagination in some ways to do its work, it needs to kind of acquire a sort of distance. It needs for very powerful events in some ways to go quiet and to be processed. And in a place where there's so much upheaval, where there's so much unrest, and there are things that kind of actually challenge, sort of dwarf the imagination in some ways, it can sometimes leave a writer of the imagination with too much to process, with not often even the equipment to process some of the things we see.
Atish, in your novel, Noon, what are the challenges for you in balancing this sense of news and continual disintegration with the sort of personal story, the imaginative quality?
Well, it's actually, with Noon, I have a very strange relationship to it because it was written before all of what happened this year happened. It was a book that in some ways had been put to bed. And obviously one feels that perhaps one would have written a different book. But at the same time, it's a book that anticipates a lot of the violence that came to the surface. And I think that it does that for a reason. I was in Pakistan when Benazir Bhutto had been killed, and that was the last time I was with my father, and it was a time when I remember feeling that there was almost a kind of an air of carnival, that there was this feeling that you had that in a very repressed society, in a society with great dissatisfactions, that the violence or especially that kind of period of mourning had almost become a kind of release. And I'd been very struck by this mood, which I'd found very, very sinister and almost quite hard to write about in nonfiction. And it had stayed with me, that mood. And that was almost what I was writing out of when I wrote Noon. And of course, the violence that I'd sensed at that time came nakedly to the surface with my father's death. It became apparent in a way that I wouldn't have thought possible, you know. It became a celebration of violence, and that was much more chilling than anything I could have written about in Noon.
Well, I have to ask you, and you know, I ask you as a fellow writer, a fellow journalist in a sense, and just a citizen of the world. I mean, what's it like in Pakistan when your father is assassinated? Do you have a sense of your time is up? That it was on its way to you, this reality, and it just sort of found you on a given day? Or do you feel vulnerable and unlucky, or you know, just that something dreadful has come to haunt that merely you, or is this your fate?
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting you ask this question, because it's so often the case that when you feel you know a place, you don't recognize. Sometimes an outsider can better recognize how much that place has changed. And I think my father had a very old-fashioned kind of romantic idea formed during the Bhutto years of Pakistan. And he felt he knew that country, you know, very intimately. And I don't think that it's very hard for people living in a place to realize how much it has changed. And we've had more than enough warning now. We've had Benazir Bhutto's assassination, which was one kind of milestone. And with my father, it's acquired a new level. There's been a kind of muffling of dissent. There are journalists in exile. Fanatics have a power in that country that one never thought possible before. And so suddenly, it's a question of becoming accustomed to a reality that you hadn't really been prepared for. And so it kind of doubles the shock in a sense, because it's not just the shock of something happening to a family member, but it's the shock of a place that you thought you knew very well turning into something almost unrecognizable.
And showing you a naked reality that, while familiar, it still has the power to shock. We're talking with Atish Taseer, author of the novel Noon. He's the son of Salman Taseer, the governor of Pakistan's Punjab province. What is Punjab in relationship to Pakistan today? Is it a cultural bubble within Pakistan, or is it more like the rest of the country?
Punjab was, it's the country's largest province, and Punjab was one of the states that was partitioned, that was divided. So India got one part of Punjab, and Pakistan got the larger part of Punjab. And it was one of the places which had a really powerful syncretic culture, where Hindus and Muslims had lived together for years, and Sikhs as well. And Punjab and Sindh was sort of thought to be in some ways impervious to fanaticism. People would always, they would always cite these two regions as areas that would stand as a buffer against the bearded men. But it hasn't proved that way. It's Punjab has changed too, faster than one ever would have thought possible. And suddenly, a kind of fanaticism that seems so alien to the Punjabi soul has taken root in Punjab. And so you're constantly coming up against, you're constantly forced to challenge certain sort of preconceptions that had been very comforting at one point.
And finally, what's your message to the world, if you, like the writers in Pakistan, must speak to the world rather than to this crumbling infrastructure inside Pakistan? What's your message?
Do you mean in the form of in the sense of a political message?
Artistic message. What's your signal from behind the walls of Pakistan to all of the rest of us?
It's very hard to see a way forward for Pakistan at the moment. I think that one wants the minute, in some ways, the violence goes quiet, it becomes possible, I think, for a society to assess what's happened to it. But while that's still going on, it's very hard to think of, it's very hard to even have a picture of what the future could look like, you know?
Well, you must miss your father a year on from his assassination.
I feel that my difficult relationship with him, and that there's the loss of that of him, and beyond that, there's just been the hideous reaction that's almost been as big as his death, which is, just the other day we thought that the anniversary had happened, and there were rallies sort of again demanding the release of the killer, and somebody wanted to auction the weapon that they had used to kill my father, and asking, sort of auctioning it for vast amounts of money, like it was a relic or something. It's very hard to separate these two things, you know?
Well, we're grateful that you spent some time with us in this particularly troublesome week. Atish Taseer, thanks so much.
Thank you.